Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, T.
How you doing?
Oh, you know, it's a Monday. You know, I'm not going to lie, though. So, I treated myself to a new desk, and it's like one of those really nice, wide, deep, automatic standing desks.
You know what's funny about this is that Katie on maybe like less than a week ago, maybe a week ago, I'm trying to think of when you were here and I was talking about cozy cardio.
I know, I brought it up.
And you were like, oh, I want to bring my walking pad back up and get a standing desk. And Then all of a sudden today she like had this desk.
So, yes. So, okay.
Which is so cute. On brand for Katie to just like be like, oh, I want this and I'm just going to get it.
I am a wild card buyer. If it's in my head at that moment, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I will say, as someone who typically gets in a shit ton of steps throughout the day, because I'm pregnant, so I'm not running as far distances, and because I'm so busy with work, getting outside to walk is really hard. So where I used to like surpass 15,000 steps a day, I was like barely cracking 6. Yeah. And that was like I had to force that. So it was nice to like, I had a desk that had a standing like attachment to it, but it was such a pain in the ass because I would have to move all of my monitors, rework my like whole configuration station.
Oh no, the horror.
Honestly, I'll pay for convenience. So I was like, you know, fuck it. I deserve a brand new desk. So it was only $150 on Amazon.
Okay.
Come at me. So that came in. Obviously, I made my husband put together last night because I wasn't doing such things.
Obviously.
Because I don't know how to work tools. Well, I do. Like, I'd fuck it up. Anywho. So I walked today, and like I'm talking like a cozy girl walk. We're not talking like anything brisk. And I've already surpassed 13,000 steps today.
I'm telling you that I haven't. But in my defense.
You can't.
I'm recovering still. Honestly, last night. Okay, so Katie and I went to Barnes & Noble and Target yesterday. I was like, I need to go on a field trip and get out of the house. And then we went to my in-laws for dinner. Like early dinner, Sunday dinner. And when we got home, I was like, I'm so sore.
Yeah.
Like, I was really sore.
Yeah.
And so then today I didn't do anything.
Especially because like we had Leah with us, so I feel like there's a lot of like up down.
Yeah.
So like constantly like squatting, then coming up, like your body's still so like weak and is still recovering.
Yeah, it's hard to. Honestly, I live for weekends where I have nothing to do and I can rot all day. But now that like I've been like medically like told to rot, I'm like, oh no, but like I can do some stuff.
It's harder when someone tells you to do something. This is not a cute angle.
Also, for so many months, I felt like complete ass. Mm-hmm. And like, while I obviously am very sore, I don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm sitting right now and like, there's a little bit of discomfort and like, obviously, but I feel good. So I want to like do things and then I get up and I'm like, oh, I can't do those things.
No, it's just like having like, okay, essentially C-sections. Like I felt the same way. Like that 2 week mark.
Yeah.
You feel like a new person.
You know,
you
like
feel
tomorrow,
like yourself.
Once my staples come out tomorrow, like it's going to be really hard for me to not.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them like how long of walks I can go on.
Yeah.
Now.
Especially because it's getting nice too.
Yeah. And then like I can like go on like little walks in the morning, like listen to my audiobook.
Yeah.
And then come home and read on the couch all day. Like, okay, so I know that, okay, we're here to talk about Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez, but next week we're talking Wild Love. So we're not doing Spilling the Tea for like, I feel like a while, because I think that the first week in May we were going to do Funny Story by Emily Henry. So there's just a few books that I want to talk about really quick.
Okay.
Sorry, I just got like off topic completely. But by the time this podcast comes out, Taming Seven, which is book 5 in The Boys of Tommen, which I talked briefly about last week. Again, actually, no, at this point I can say
because
by the time this comes out. Anyway, I gave it 5 stars. It's like 4.5, 5 star. Not as much trauma as the first two, but still a lot of trauma,
okay.
Which is like what we love about this series. You don't expect it from Gypsy because he's like kind of like the good time guy, but you know something happened in his past. You don't know what it is. I kind of guessed it. But it still didn't make it any easier to read about the things that were happening to him, which are really horrific. I'm not going to give any spoilers, obviously. But Claire, I loved. She got a little, there's one part that she annoyed me on, which again, I won't spoil. It's towards kind of the end when like the, what happened in Gibbsy's past, like comes to light. She kind of like, she doesn't react well, not towards him, but like in the situation, like in the moment, and it makes it worse for him. And like that kind of bothered me, but I loved her. And I think if you love the other books in the series, and you'll love it. I know that there were spoilers online. We talked about it last week and people were like misconstruing, I think, what the book was really about. But anyway, that. And then I finished The Dixon Rule by Elle Kennedy. So book two in the Campus Diary series today. And that doesn't come out till May. But if you like the Campus Diaries and if you're like a BriarU fan, like off-campus BriarU, then pre-order it. Because it was so cute. Okay. And it reminded me, like, remember when we did The Graham Effect and how, like, it started off slow? And we were like, it was like, it's a long book. It's like almost 500 pages. Like,
okay.
It started off slow, but then like by the end, it was just like so good. That's how this one was too. Okay. Like it started off a little slow. The first like 150 pages, you're like, just get together. There's no third act breakup. There is chapter 36, really threw me for a loop. like I was like, I'm like getting hot thinking about it.
Wow.
I know. And like, I haven't been in like a smut mood, but there's just something. Elle just like does just enough.
Yes. She gives you just enough. She gives you like thirst quenched.
Yes.
But you're not like.
But it's not too much. Like I wasn't skimming over it. And like there was mentions of like, oh, we're having sex. But like, oh, or like last night we did this, but it wasn't on page. Mm-hmm. So it was like just the right amount that like it wasn't like overwhelming. And then of course, if you're obsessed with the off-campus boys, like I am, they are basically all mentioned. You get those like little cameos. That's and it was fun. So cute.
The cameos are always a good time.
Always a good time. And like you get, it just, it makes me giddy.
I'm so glad.
Thanks. Anyway. Okay. We could talk about Just for the Summer Now by Abby Jimenez, which Katie and I both gave 1,000,005 stars to.
We both. So Teresa has read
all of her
like book series. I have not read
the Friend Zone series.
Okay, so I have not read that series yet. But out of the books that I have read and the ones that you have read, this is our favorite.
This is, yes, 100%.
Also, if you do like an audiobook, I highly recommend. I listen to the audio on Audible. It's a duet, Teddy Hamilton.
It's a duet or duel?
Duel. I didn't think about this. It's been a minute. Duel, but Teddy Hamilton's in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought it was Zachary Weber.
I'm lying. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say Zachary Weber.
Who did I just listen to with Teddy Hamilton?
Tin Queen?
Yeah, that's what they get. This is what happens when we...
I don't know who narrates Tin Queen. I'm just assuming. I know that you just listened to that.
Let me fact check everything I just spewed.
Don't worry, guys. I'm here to fact check Katie's pregnancy brain.
It's not. I can't even blame this on pregnancy brain. Because
Zachary...
This is what happens when we do something weeks in advance.
Yes. Zachary Weber is Jacob Morgan. They're the same.
Okay, correct. Zachary Weber does Just for the Summer. It's amazing. With Christine Lakin, and I like her. I thought she did a really good job for Emma. It makes complete sense. Like, her voice is, like, what I would have, I think I would have read on page.
Okay.
Tin Queen by Debney Perry is also not
Teddy Hamilton.
It is Jason Clark. Someone fucking does. Someone, Teddy Hamilton does something.
Hamilton narrates books.
I just can't try it. Anywho.
Don't worry, guys. I'm here to keep her honest.
Please do.
Yeah, so it's like a very, it's like Good Luck Chuck. Okay, if you've seen that movie, Good Luck Chuck. But basically both of them have this issue. It starts off with an Am I the Asshole on Reddit, which like I love those in real life. So I like love that that was kind of like the crux of the story. But everybody that Justin dates, the next person they date ends up like being like the one. So like all of his ex-girlfriends end up finding like the one after they've dated Justin. And the same thing happens to Emma. Mm-hmm. So when Emma reads it, she's like, I'm going to reach out to this guy. Her and her friend do. They're like, LOL, haha, whatever. And he's like, we should date each other. Like, you should come to Minnesota. We should date each other. And then we'll both find our soulmates.
There's a little bit more than just that, though. Like, they kind of have, like,
I know,
a
they, yes.
friendship.
They,
like,
yes.
I feel like in the synopsis, it very much, like, it seems like that's what they automatically decide.
No.
But, like, I liked the banter also leading up to him being like, hey, crazy thought.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you think about this?
Yeah. And she's a traveling nurse. Her and her best friend are traveling nurses. They're supposed to go to Hawaii. And Emma's like, I will let you choose, like, the next two locations we go to if we can do Minnesota.
Yeah. Because that's where he is.
That's where Justin is. Justin has to stay in Minnesota. You find out later on the reasoning, which is that he is, his mother is about to go to prison. His father passed away. And he needs to take care of his three siblings.
Yes.
He's just perfect.
I will say, if you need, as a man, to role model yourself off of, Justin is the one to do it. He was adorable. I thought he, you know what, he had, I think, what a lot of females look for in a male partner. Like, when you were first, and again, like, I haven't been in the dating game since I was 23. I am 33. So, like, it's been a hot minute. But, like, thinking of what I'd want right now in a guy that I would be looking for, like, someone who can hold a conversation, isn't afraid to reach out first, like, can throw in a couple of, like, funky, quirky jokes. Like, he has, like, the survey after, like, the dates and, like, the questionnaires. Like, he makes things, like, fun and lively. Like, for someone who does have a lot of baggage and a lot of stuff going on, like,
yeah.
I feel like this is, like, his outlet, and it's nice to see, like, the communication aspect between the two.
Yes.
And he always tells Emma, too, because Emma, you come to learn, has a lot of fucking issues because of her mommy. Like, her mommy is...
She has PTSD from her childhood.
Yes, which she rightly should and does.
Like, it's not... It's not to be taken lightly.
Not at all. Which, this is also marketed as a rom-com. It is not a rom-com.
I will say this about Abby Jimenez. Like, I'll say this about Emily Henry. Just because there's humor in their books does not make them rom-coms. Correct. I'm sorry. If you have to have a trigger warning in your book, it's not a rom-com.
No, and I think this is...
Again, that's not true. Like, there's some that, like, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like,
for the most part, yeah. Like, we're talking about deeper substance topics. Like, and I think they're really nice to be brought up. Because, like, you don't know who's out there reading these books. Like, it can resonate with someone.
Yeah.
So, with Emma, her mom basically, like, literally abandoned her, I think, at the age of 8. Where she was literally living in a trailer by herself for a week and eating the carrots that were being grown by her neighbor.
Yeah.
To the point where she turned orange and, like, was banging on their door because she was in need of food.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, social services came and took her away.
Yeah.
So, like, you come to find out with her mom, fucking asshole, that she literally led a double life. Like, she completely
lied. Honestly, that plot twist, I don't know if I, honestly, I don't know if it's just because it's been so long since I read Part of Your World, but I did not remember the name of Daniel's mother.
Me either.
So when it came out that Emma and Daniel were half siblings and they shared the same mom, and we know that Daniel was kind of abandoned by his mother, who was raised by his grandparents. She would, like, kind of, like, come in like a whirlwind every once in a while. The whole part, like, Part of Your World is, like, him trying to get the house from her because he doesn't want her to sell it. I didn't remember her name.
The roses started to, like, intrigue me because I was like, wait a minute. Like, I remember this from yours truly.
But
I was like, maybe I'm remembering something incorrectly.
Yeah. So I didn't pick up on it. And then when it comes out who her, like, her half brother is, and I was like, oh my God. So she would, when she would come into Daniel's life or whatever and, like, be at the house, like, back in his childhood, those were the weeks that she was just leaving Emma. And Emma always forgave her mom and always made excuses. Like, knew that her mom was a piece of shit, but, like, still loves her. Because she kind of, like, was like, oh, I'm the only thing she has. Like, maybe she can't love me right, but she does love me.
In her own twisted way, because we have no one else. Like, apparently her whole family is gone.
Her mom has just lied and lied and lied. But, like,
she came to find out when she met Daniel that
there's
half-siblings, there's aunts, uncles, cousins, like, grandparents, like, you name it. Like, I mean, unfortunately now the grandparents were deceased at the time, but, like,
but she has all this family just a few hours away. Well, she didn't grow up in Minnesota, but a few hours away now in Minnesota. And that's why when her mom finds out that she's going to Minnesota, she kind of, like...
Freaks a little bit.
And then she says where she is and she's, like, kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And when she, like, finds, like, Emma's, like, old stuffed animal and Emma's like, can you send it here? She gives the address. So Emma and her best friend, which I'm blanking on her friend's name,
I liked your best friend.
I did too. Maddie?
It's under the name.
Anyway, when she goes, she gives her the address of where they're staying. Emma and her friend are staying in like a cottage off, like on the lake off the, basically it's like this man owns this mansion and then he owns the cottage across the lake on this like island. And when the mom sees the address, she like looks it up.
It's Maddie, you're right.
Maddie, yeah. She looks it up and the mom sees like this giant house. She shows up and like seduces this man basically. You find out that he's, what's her face from Part of Your World? Daniel's wife. The male, the female main character in Part of Your World. She has a shitty ex.
Yes.
That's who the mom, And like I actually ended up feeling bad for him because he was like trying to be a good person.
He's trying to turn a new leaf.
Yes.
He's like willing to put like the mom through therapy or
and, like,
put her
support her and be there for her. She basically burns his house down at the end.
She's and he's like, it's cool.
I was like waiting for the mom redemption arc too and it doesn't come, which I'm actually happy about. Same. Like not every character needs to be redeemed. Some characters are
it's
just
like
assholes.
Encanto. Who likes the fucking grandmother?
I was hoping the grandmother would die the whole time.
Why did Mirabelle so quickly forgive the woman for literally having it against her
a lifetime.
Her entire fucking childhood after she didn't get a power? That was too quick of a, it's okay, grandma. I'd be like, no, fuck you, abuela. Like, this is what's up. Like,
no, I
hate like,
it.
I hated her so much.
The grandma in Encanto, the whole time I was like, I can't wait till she dies. And then she doesn't
die.
Kill Bambi's mom, but like, let's leave Encanto's grandma alive.
We were already really wrong in Disney.
Anyway, so she's dealing with all of that. And like, so something that actually does bother me in Abby Jimenez's books, and like, I say that with love because I've never given any of her books less than 4 stars. Is that there's always a lack of communication.
Yes.
There's very bad communication
between
the characters. And I don't feel that way in this book. I think Emma and Justin communicated so well and they understood each other. Like Justin understood her on like such a deep level immediately. And then she always felt safe with him that she could be completely honest with him.
I almost think Maddie helped bridge a lot of the communication gap as well.
Yeah.
So Maddie's parents fostered / adopted Emma. But Emma, again, was always very hesitant and still is hesitant to kind of refer to them as her family because she's been dying for her mother to come back and claim her as hers, which obviously does not come.
No.
Maddie is her best friend, and because Maddie has such a deep understanding of her as well, and so does Justin, Maddie kind of helped fills in the gaps with Justin. And you know what? I liked the aspect between the best friend and the boyfriend as well because sometimes you get like, Maddie is 100% protective. Then the minute she knows that her best friend is like, this guy I'm all in on, like she doesn't even need to say words. Like you could, like if you were not with Gil, but like I watched you like date a guy, like I would know if Teresa was all in. Like you're the same. So she knows when her friend's all in and she's able to communicate to Justin, like, this is what she's going to do. You have to stick with her. Like, this is like,
she describes it as getting small. And was like, I get small. And like the only person who can like break into that is Maddie. And then, like, she gets small one day, but she calls Justin.
Yeah.
And he, like, helps her, like, out of, like, that feeling. She, like, says, like, she always says, like, I feel like I'm on an island alone. And she, like, makes herself, like, fit into that, like, small compartment on this, like, island alone. Like, it's how she, like, survived, basically, when her mom abandoned her.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something towards the end. Oh, it's, like, the whole thing with the mom finding out that she had the siblings stuff. And Maddie's, like, she's going to get really small.
Yes.
Like basically like, let me handle this for now. And like, I'll let you know.
I'll tap you in. Yeah.
And honestly, like that's like, right. Like,
yeah.
Also, they're sisters. Like they're best friends, but they're sisters.
They're sisters. And like, I kind of almost appreciated, I don't even think it's referred to as like a breakup. Like at the end of the day,
your mental
health is going to impact your relationship.
Right.
And she's very aware that she has issues.
Yes.
Like everything's blew up in her face. Everything she has thought for all these years has come crumbling down around her. She realizes and can also, like, I think that speaks volumes of like your love for someone as well. Like, I really need to fix this. Like, and she again, communication. Like, she communicates that to him.
Right.
Like, I need to go do this. Like, thank you.
Like, I mean, you can't be in a you can't be in a solid relationship if you have so much shit to work through. And again, his dad like died a few years ago or no. Yeah. Not long ago, a few years ago, his mom literally just went to prison and now he has to raise His older brother is like 16, and then he has like a 12-year-old sister.
But then there's a little one.
And then there's like a 4-year-old. Is she 4? She's young.
She's young.
So basically he has like children to raise. And Emma's like, I can't also put now my PTSD on him. So she basically goes to the town where Daniel lives. Don't ask me what any of these towns' names are in Minnesota.
Nope.
But she goes there and she basically like bonds like with her family, and she starts going to therapy and like working like through
the PTSD. Actually, I think she's in St. Paul, like the St. Paul area. It's St. Paul and Minneapolis.
That's where they are with Justin.
That's right there. Because they always talk about going over the border. And I'm like, yeah.
Are. But she goes to, like, the small town. And I think she, like, her and Maddie, like, work at, it's going to bug me that I can't remember Part of Your World, whatever her name is. But they work, she has, like, that little, like, town doctor's office. Because she's a doctor. So they work there. Maddie and Will, okay, Will from Part of Your World, the neighbor, like, Daniel's best friend. Yes. They fall in love and they get married.
I love it.
I love that. And then once she kind of gets her shit together, she's like, okay, I'm going to go. Brianna, thank you. She's like, no, Part of Your World?
Yeah.
Oh, then what's yours truly? What's her name?
Dr. Jacob. Wait, where are
this? No,
yours truly.
Okay, no, I didn't say that. It's a Part of Your World.
Thank you. I'm okay.
I was like, no, Brianna's definitely, Brianna and Jacob are yours truly.
Yep.
Daniel and
Alexis.
Alexis. I was not going to remember that.
No.
She pissed me off a lot at the end, though. She really pissed me off. She was so mean to Daniel, and he was amazing. Anyway, then she goes back. She's like, I'm going to go win Justin back. And on her way there, his sister, Sarah, I believe, calls her and is like, you need to come get me at school. I have my period.
Yeah.
First time ever. So Justin, when she shows up at the house, Justin's like, she's not here for me. She's here because my sister calls her. Meanwhile, she was on her way there to like win it back. It was just so cute. And
it
like,
was adorable.
And like as soon as like, you know, like she like says like, I love you. And he's like, wait, like he's kind of like trying to like push her out, like being like, she's not here for me, whatever. And then she's like, let me just say what I have to say. And the whole time he's like, there's no way she's in love with me. And then she's like,
I love you.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what? I loved it.
It was really cute. It was really good. I think, because I like Part of Your World. I really loved yours truly. I think it kind of I think she took like a lot of that miscommunication that we just said, like, and kind of fixed it a bit. And this is like the baby of the best improvement, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, because I will say this because I read them all. Every single one of them, there's a miscommunication that drives me crazy. Like, okay, so I actually did my ranking of the books, and it's gonna, if you didn't watch the video, which like, bad views on TikTok, which I don't even care, but my ranking I think would shock people because yours truly is my second to least favorite.
Wow, that is kind of shocking.
You want to know why?
Why?
I don't remember anything that happened in that book.
Really?
It was like I read it and then I forgot all about it.
I remember what happens in yours truly. I do also remember what happens in Part of Your World, but I've only read three Abby Jimenez books. Like, I can't even, like...
My second favorite is Life's Too Short, and that's part of the Friend Zone series. And I loved Vanessa and Adrian. And then I met Justin and Emma, and I was like...
Never mind, you're out.
I was like, sorry, but I don't think anybody can top them.
No,
like,
this was a terrific book.
I just don't think anybody can top Justin. Like
this is one of the... So Teresa and I, when we did go to Barnes & Noble, we obviously walked in there, the whole table designated just for the summer.
Yeah.
It's one of those books where, like... And we're not special edition girlies. Like, I know there's a lot of girls out there.
Like book collectors.
But we're not book collectors. But there's a couple of books where I'm like, I'll get the special edition because I'm not that obsessed. This is one of those books where, like, if there was a special edition for it and I liked it, I would get it.
Same. I would definitely get a special. Like, I would, like, sit in a queue and, like, try to get it. Like, I'm obsessed.
I agree.
The whole, like, okay, so I oftentimes think, like, these, like, big love declarations are, like, so corny. It, like, I am just, like, not that kind of person. So they have to be good. And, like, the love declaration at the end is so good. It's just, I mean, do you want me to read the whole thing?
I mean, whatever you want to do.
Okay, fine. I'll read the whole thing, guys. This is my audition. I'm just kidding. I can never narrate.
No, she goes, too awful.
I know it probably doesn't matter, but I can meet you where you are now. I can meet all of you. I filled my cracks. I don't want to be an island. I want a village. I want lots of friends and lots of love. Okay, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't have a choice with you. I couldn't keep you out. I want you to know that I loved you at first sight, Jess, and it just took me a really long time to be able to tell you that. And then he lets out a shaky puff of air because he's like so happy, you know? And she goes, I love you. I'm sorry it came so late. You deserve to hear it sooner when it still mattered. And then she goes, also, I'm not leaving. Okay. Then she's like, I'm not leaving until I check. Chelsea's like the little one's ears. And then she's like, I would stay forever if you asked me. And he goes, then stay. And then she goes, wait, where is it? And he said, okay, no. He says, you know, I'm not going to read you 4 pages worth of love confessions. If the curse is true, the next person you date is going to be your soulmate. And she said, the next person you date is going to be yours too. And he's like, I was wondering if you'd like to go out with me sometime. 4 dates, a kiss, but no breakups. And she goes, not just for the summer. And he goes, no, forever this time. And I was just like, it's so cute. And then the epilogue is another, am I the asshole? Okay, so the whole thing with the Toilet King, I need to know, is this real?
I don't know, but in my review, I literally put, and I quote, Justin, you deserve your own version of a Toilet King billboard because you were top tier. But I don't know. Let's look it up.
I'll say I'm Googling it right now. Because the Toilet King plays such
a big role.
A role in this, the Toilet King. No, I wrote the Toilet King Minnesota and I clicked images and I just got dirty urinals. So
I mean, Toilet King has like a couple of memes, but it's nothing like the same over and over. So yeah, I guess it was made up, but still, like, well done, Abby. You know what I kind of almost like, I think, because this had like such deeper meaning of a book, you really don't get like the full scope and picture of why Justin's mom did what she did.
Yeah.
You get a glimpse of a moment when, like, her and her best friend.
Her best friend, Brad's mom.
Yes.
Who just names his dog. That's the whole Am I the Asshole. He names his dog after his best friend because the last girl that Justin dated, when they broke up, he started dating Brad, and now, like, they're, like, engaged. So he gets a dog, like, this, like, ugly little, like, Brussels Griffin.
Yes.
Like, that's all, like, matted and, like, has, like, mange or, like, whatever. And he's like, I'm going to name it after my best friend.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And like, you do learn that like nothing really occurred. Like,
No. Like, yeah. Like they're like, it's like a joke.
It's a joke. But you get like a glimpse of a moment where Justin picks them up from the bar because they were completely fucking shit faced.
It's their like last night. Yeah.
Like a night, last night freedom. And like, it was just such like a raw, vulnerable moment where like the mom just started to like break down. Cause it's like, I get it. Like, when you're waiting for something to occur, you can totally sweep anything under the rug and be like, oh, it's not happening yet. I got time. But then, like, right before the night before, it's like the first time you're going away to college or the first time you're stepping into, like, freshman year. Like, you're always nervous. I mean, I'm not trying to correlate the two to, like, going to prison. I have no idea what going to prison for a few years looks like. And I hope I never have to experience that. But anywho. But, like, you get those nerves. But, like, you can pass it off and, like, push it off as long as you want. It's under the rug. But, like, then that night comes and like there's a break. So like just like I don't know, like reading how she wrote how the mama kind of broke down and like the best friend broke down, like, and how she's kind of like, I fucked up with all this stuff and like, please take care of like,
yeah,
like it was just like a very raw, real moment.
Yeah,
like you actually felt like it was real.
Yeah, so the dad died, and I guess like the mom, to like, I don't know, in part of like her grief, which Justin, like Emma, that's like what Emma is so amazing. She has such empathy for people, and her whole thing is like, people can do bad things and it doesn't make them a bad person. Like, you need to have, like, space in your heart to be able to, like, forgive, like, or try to understand.
Because Justin's, like, pissed with his mother.
He's very upset with his mother. Which I understand. Which he has every right to be. But at the same time, like, you kind of have to try to get over that. Because she did a bad thing, but she's been a great mother.
And she's also going away for a very long time. And leaving behind, like, at the end of the day, she didn't want to leave behind her 3 children.
No. So she's like an accountant, I believe, and she ends up like padding the books and like stealing money from the company.
And even like the owners of the company were trying to like help her reduce her sentence, but it was a freaking not-for-profit.
Yeah. So, eek. Not a good look, lady.
So she had, like, pay all the money back.
And then she goes, and then Justin breaks down in the driveway, but his friends show up, and they plan this, like, whole thing for him.
To redo the room.
To redo the room so that he doesn't have to, like, sleep in, like, his, like, mom's room. They redo the room so that it's, like, his room now that he's, like, living there full time. And they, like, call Emma, and they get her to – they go to, like, the Mall of America, and they stay at, like, one of those, like, places that has, like, indoor water parks and stuff. It was just, like, so nice.
It was.
Like, the friends and, like, the support system.
Like, he had good friends.
Yes, amazing
I like
friends.
When there's good side characters, even though not, like, big side characters. No. Like, it's a good support system. So I feel like sometimes in different contemporary romance books or just rom-coms, like, you don't get the background of, like, the people, so it's almost like they have no friends.
I hate that when you're like, do you have a friend?
Yeah, like, you need everyone needs a buddy.
You need at least one friend.
Everyone needs a buddy.
Yeah. But yeah, he has a great group of friends, a great support system.
Yeah.
It makes sense that Emma only has Maddie because that's, like, Emma's, like, lifestyle. Like, the less people you let into your life, the less people can leave you.
Yes.
And that's, like, kind of, like, been her whole thing.
I also just think stuff, like, you and I are always, like, good examples of that, too. Like, there's just, it's depending upon your personality as well. Like,
yeah.
I am well more introverted than you are. Like,
yeah.
I am very okay with, like, my hermit self. So my corner isn't going to be backed up with all these people, whereas, like, you're a little different. Like, you have that corner. Like, my sister's the same way, too. Like, it's okay. But you need at least one person.
Yeah, so, yeah, you just need that one person. But it's nice that they have. And then Emma does get her family. But we have to obviously talk about him on the unicorn float, paddling across the lake or whatever to get to the island when she's sick.
Honestly, if my husband doesn't paddle anywhere for me, then
I'm going to go find a little island on a lake, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to get real sick. And I'm going to see what my husband does, because he would probably just be like, you got yourself out there.
Keep your head and soul out there.
He'd be like, you got yourself out there, so, like, I don't know where the boat is, but, like, I'll call somebody to come get you. No, I'm just kidding. He's fine. But, like, I'm just picturing it. Like, him on this fucking, like, unicorn float,
like, what, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, it's the perfect storm waves. Like, they're toppling over him.
It's probably like choppy.
Just choppy.
But yeah, he goes there. She has, like, a bad case of the neurovirus.
Yes.
A very bad case. She gets it from the hospital. There's, like, whatever. And Maddie's home in California for her parents, her mom's wedding anniversary.
Yes.
And she has nobody, Emma. And, Justin gets out there, and then he ends up getting sick, and they spend this, like, cute, like, few days together, like,
dying
in this, like, little, like, bubble.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's taking care of her, and then she's taking care of him. And there's, like, a part, I think I highlighted it, because he's, like, so sick, and he, like, spits in the toilet. I don't know. There was just, like, I could just picture it so viscerally, like, in my head. I don't think I'm going to find. Was it before or after his mom went? It had to be after.
Oh, I thought it was before.
Really?
You
know what?
I think it's before. I mean, again, I could be wrong.
I feel like it was after. Wait, okay, here it goes. Do you regret not leaving when I told you to? He goes, I spit in the can. I regret nothing. In fact, I kind of feel like we need to share all of our infectious diseases. Really? And he goes, yeah, what else you got? Anything sexually transmitted? Spitting? That could be fun. And I just, like, I know that feeling when you're so sick and, like, you're just holding it and, like, you're like, and, like, he's still being so cute.
Yes.
I don't know how to explain it.
No, I, so funny story, speaking of spitting and puking, the, so when Tom and I started hanging out and talking, again, 23 years old, I went to a bar with one of our good friends, Danielle, who we brought up on the podcast before. And at the bar, this is like the sad part. So my parents show up, and my dad continually feeds me Fireball shots to chase after having, or with the chaser, and the chaser was Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fucking disgusting, but I drank it all because that's what you do at 20 fucking three. So I drove, but I am smart enough to not get behind the wheel while intoxicated. So I called Tom because he lived right down the street at the time. I was so drunk that he had picked us up and was, like, right out front, and I had no idea he was right out front. So he brings me back to my cousin's house, so Gil's parents' house, because my friend at the time was dating the other brother, and proceeded to vomit profusely in their downstairs bathroom all night long.
Love that.
I thought when I was laying apparently my head in Tom's lap as he was like rubbing my hair and putting it up in a ponytail that he was the toilet and started to like spit in said lap because I was about to throw up again and he had to redirect my face. He set my alarm clocks. I had to be, this would get me in so much trouble now. I had to be at a clinical site the next morning.
Of course.
And had he not set my alarm, I would have completely fucked up and missed it. However, I did get to my clinical site and profusely vomit everywhere and told them I needed to go home. Thank God I didn't smell like alcohol because I would have been in so much fucking trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Tom married me.
I mean, I threw up in my hands and tried to hide it. And Gil was like, you're throwing up. And I said, no, I'm not. I denied it. And he's like, I'm literally watching you throw up in your hands. And I was like, I blacked out. I don't remember this. I was like, throwing up my hands and then just like putting it, like hiding it, like in his bed. So if that's the way to, if you got, if anyone's single out there and you're wondering how to get a man,
make sure you puke around them
and hide it.
I think at one point Tom was like recalling the details to me. Like we laughed about it now. He's like, you literally at one point, like, you know, like your hair is like literally in puke because you didn't get it up fast enough. He's like, you literally picked your head up out of the toilet bowl. Puke was like embedded into the ones on your head. And you literally asked me point like, wow, you must really like me.
And he does.
I mean, at that point too, he was like, well, I couldn't exactly abandon you. But yeah, I guess
I mean, true.
Like, but, I'd be a fucking
but
asshole.
Like, this is, I mean, like, not that it's the same, but like after, okay, so like after they're done, like being sick together, she says, like, I love that he always made me laugh. I love that no matter what we were doing, it was fun. I love that I slept so well when he was next to me and felt so cared for and safe and wanted or whatever. But it's just like, right, like you go through this like horrible thing, like you're still having fun with this person.
It means something.
Yeah. And like, oh, sorry, I'm just like, I'm just such a sucker.
If a rainy day could be the best day, then imagine like what those bright, fun days could be. So it's like, if you're having a really shit day.
Because that's like the thing, like, okay, so they get the neurovirus together. They're out on a date and he gets a phone call that his siblings have lice and now they have to go comb lice out of everybody's heads and like strip all the beds and like check each other's heads for lice. Like every time like they're out on like a date, like something kind of goes wrong. But, like, they're, like, it's not like, oh, it's going wrong and, like, they're not having fun. Like, they kind of just, like, go with the flow with it and, like, still are having, like, so much fun together. And I just, that's what everybody wants, right? Like, just somebody who, like, the mundane, like, life things you're still, like,
having fun. If they're not fun, then, like, that's not good.
No. I love them so much.
They're really, it's really good.
And, like, the sister, so Sarah is the middle child. She's, like, the older sister. And the older brother, like, doesn't care. He's just, like, whatever. The younger sister is, like, too young to, like, really understand too much. But Sarah's been, like, very difficult, like, with, like, the mom leaving and everything. But I love that she, like, takes a liking immediately to Emma. And Emma and her, like, have this, like, bond.
I mean, I feel like as you're a teenager, like, I probably, like, hated my parents just, like, every other...
Well, yeah, you go
female.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with your hormones.
But you have no idea. But you still need someone to guide you. Like, periods. Why else am I getting fucking angry, happy, sad, and now I'm crying, like, for no reason. But now I really need a fucking snack. Like, you need someone to explain that shit to you. Like, have, like, girl talk with.
Yeah, and, like, Sarah, like, tells Emma. Emma is, like, going there, and, like, she goes after the kids go to sleep, and then she, like, leaves really early before they wake up. And finally, Sarah's like, we know that you sleep here.
We hear you.
We hear giggling coming from his room. But, like, he's so much happier when you're here that, like, we want you here more. And then, like, Emma kind of, like, picks up a lot of the slack. Like, she takes them to school, and she, like, helps them with, like, homework and stuff. And they, like, form this, like, cute little family unit. So it sucks that she does have to leave, but I like that when she comes back, everybody's, like, so happy that she's back.
Yeah.
And there isn't, like, that, like, oh, but, like, now Sarah's not, no, yeah. Like they all are like, no, we understand.
Yeah. Agreed. And, like, her biggest fear, too, with Emma, like, for Emma, as I'm speaking of, like, she never wants to, like, abandon them because she's been abandoned.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why that was her big thing with Justin too. She's like, I have to go work on myself because like the more involved I get, mm-hmm. if I one day like panic and leave,
I'm fucking shit up.
Yeah. You got to appreciate it.
Honestly. Yeah. What an adult. That's why, like, I don't know. Like, I've been in a very mood. Speaking all day on fucking meetings too. I've been in a big mood where I want like a more adult read. Like, I like the fun, the humor, like the banter, but like I want it at like an older aged level and not like your high school or college level. Like, not, I'm not saying that like I don't love those books because like, again, going back to like Elle Kennedy, I fucking ate up all those books.
Yeah.
I'm just not right now like in the mood.
Yeah.
Like I just like, I'm in for, like, I want like the adult-ish relationships.
Yes.
I'm reading.
Well, that's why I'm going to read that How to End a Love Story.
Smart.
Starting tomorrow, because I heard that it's Emily Henry-esque, but that it's like a little bit sadder than I think people were expecting.
Oh, I'm on book three of Julie Johnson's Boston Love series. And I will say so far, this has been my favorite. The banter is fucking top.
I love banter.
Who doesn't love banter?
Wait, sorry, one more thing about this book. Okay. And then we can talk about it. Sorry. I'm just like looking at the quotes now. You guys know I love to do this. She says, why are you so good to me? And he said, because you deserve it. And she says, no, I don't. And he goes, yeah, you do. You take care of everyone in this house, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you deserve to be appreciated, Emma. And then she says, I think I'm just used to feeling like I'm asking too much when I need something, unless it's Maddie. And he said, you're not asking for too much. You were just asking the wrong person. Ask me instead. And, like, I love that. Because you're not asking too much. I feel the same way. Like, I will just do things on my own all the time. Because I never want to, like, bother anybody or, like, feel like a burden. But you have to, like, know, like, when to ask for help.
Did you put up new templates?
Oh, I did.
Oh, my God. Look at you go, girl.
I put up new templates today. If you guys want to see them, they're on our...
This is the first time I'm on social media. Yeah. I just, like, was like, let me just check her stories really quickly.
Funny. Well, anyway, so but now you can talk about Julie Johnson.
Oh, no. I just was mentioning I was reading adult read.
Oh.
We don't need to digress.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're totally fine.
I'm just going to keep reading quotes then. Sometimes I feel like the seasons could come and go and come and go, and 100 years could pass 1,000. The ground could collapse under us, the house could crumble and go back to the earth, and we would still be standing here frozen in time because every second I'm with you is eternal. I've never felt anything like it. Can you imagine if Tom said that to you?
I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing with my husband?
Well, you know, I would ask if he was on drugs. But like,
yeah, I'm like, are you well?
Every second with you is eternal. And like, not in like a bad way where I'm like, oh my God, you're being with you is torture. It's eternal. Which I would probably say. I say things like, oh my God, imagine if Gil ever said this to me. One, I would ask if he was on drugs too. I'd be like, ew. I'm just
so
kidding.
Nice.
I'd be like, wow, that's so nice. And then I wouldn't say anything nice back, you know?
I don't have pretty words like that.
I don't have pretty words like that. I'm just not mushy.
No.
Yeah. Ugh. Emma, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to hear it. I'm in love with you. I've been in love with you since the moment I laid eyes on you, and I know we haven't known each other long, but I don't care because it's true, and it's there, and it doesn't matter to me if it makes sense or not. I've been waiting my whole life to feel like this. And I thought it was a curse and nobody else ever worked out, but it wasn't. It's just that they weren't you. And then he goes, please don't end this. I'm begging you.
Angel baby.
But she had to.
She did. She did.
And it was so sad when she left too, because she's like, what do you think she'll be like? And he goes, who? And she goes, the girl you'll meet after me, your soulmate.
I know. I was like, girl, you are his soulmate.
And I was like happy too. Like, I was like, when she goes back, like, is he can be like out on like the first date he goes on. Like, no, like he just waits. Like, he just doesn't go out.
Also,
for 6 months. He's like also
trying
parenting.
To figure out like his life. Like, you're in a whole new routine.
But I just like felt that coming. Like, oh, like the first day that she goes back is also the first day that he decides to go on a date with someone that like his friends finally convince him to leave the house. And I was like, I'm going to be so annoyed. But it wasn't like that.
Thank you, Abby.
Like, there is a third act breakup, but for good reason.
And you, like, you don't mind it.
Yes. And also, okay, not that it's the same, but Caught Up by Liz Tomford, when Miller is like, I kind of, like, she, like, leaves for a little bit because, like, that's her whole thing, is that her career is, like, very important to her and she needs to leave. And eventually she comes back and it's great and I love it. But, like,
there's she had to go.
She had to go.
It wouldn't fit the story if she stayed. And I think in this situation too, Emma has to figure her shit out before jumping headfirst into.
You can't be in a happy, healthy relationship if you have that much trauma to sort through.
I think that's very
especially because he had so much that he was also dealing with. Yeah. He didn't have the kids or didn't have any other commitments. Then I think that he could like help her work through that, but he had to prioritize his siblings. And he couldn't make her a priority. And she had to make herself a priority.
So mature of her to recognize that his siblings need him more than she needs him.
Yes.
And she can't steal that spotlight from them.
No.
She's a big girl.
She's a big girl. I love her. I loved her so much.
Me too. And she was a good character.
Yeah.
They were both really good
characters. So now I'm just like so excited to see like what Abby puts out next.
I know, same.
Because like, how do you top a masterpiece?
I don't know. I don't know. That's hard.
Yeah.
I
believe she can do it.
I think anyone who's, I agree. If you can give us a masterpiece, you can do it again.
Yeah. I mean, like, Abby is, like, crazy. Like, she has so many, like, she started off, like, she owns a cupcake business. Mm-hmm. Like, Nadia's Cakes, which, like, come up in every book. She, like, puts, like, her, like, own little plug in there, which is funny. But not, like, the Food Network, like, whatever. Yeah. Like, all, like, Cupcake Wars. And, like, her daughter is, like, a music prodigy.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy. This kid, like, picks up, like, an instrument and, like, learns how to play. Yeah. Plays it. And now, like, Abby just, like, is, like, writing these, like, best-selling, like, amazing books.
People, it's actually kind of crazy talentless. People are so talented.
Yeah, I have no talent.
Same, I got nothing.
Like, I'm not even just saying that. Like, I sincerely don't. The only thing that I'm good at is annoying my husband, cooking breakfast, great at cooking breakfast, and reading books really fast.
That's a hit. That's a people. I mean, again, like, there's people with talent, but I think there's different levels, right? Like, you have people, like, I consider some people very talented with some things, but they're not, like, prodigy level, like, you touch shit and it turns to gold. Prodigy.
Yeah.
And, like, there are some people out there who just have that.
I don't.
And I don't. I got nothing.
I'm really good at laying on my couch.
I'm really good at...
You're good at running.
Sure.
You're really good at endurance.
Yeah, good endurance. But I'm not fast. Like, that's what, like, you know, like, yeah. The point I'm trying to make. Like, I'm no speedy chicken over here, but I can, like, if you're like, hey, Katie, you want to go run 40 miles? Not right now or in the next 5 months, but, like, after this child comes out of me, then yeah, sure, we can do that together. like, I consider Tom talented in the sense of, like, any sport he tries, like, he's good. Like, and not just, like, mediocre. Like, he's,
yeah.
He excels, like, he stands out. It's not fair. The first time I went for a fucking run together, I wanted to, like, literally hang myself. I had a thought and I lost it. It's clearly not important.
Well, clearly she's not talented in the memory department.
No, right now I'm absolutely not. Anyone can attest to that one.
Me, during this podcast.
Memory shot.
Part of your world? You're like, yeah, yours truly.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah, Teddy Hamilton. No. Also, no. Good thing I downloaded the audio, or I would have been like, yeah, it's Teddy. I haven't listened to it yet.
I listened to something with Teddy in it.
That's how you know. Well, I can't say it, but that's how you know that I really, really am obsessed with the book because
I downloaded
the audio as soon as I finished. So that's where I'm at.
Just saying.
Any other comments about it?
No, I think we've dissected it.
I read most of the quotes that I wanted to. Next week, we are discussing Wild Love by Elsie Silver.
We are.
And then I believe the first week of May, we're going to do Funny Story. I think that's what we said.
I think so. I don't think we have anything written down.
We haven't, like, yeah, we haven't put it onto paper yet, but Funny Story comes out the 23rd. Oh, well, okay, no, we have a spilling the tea on the... No, sorry, kidding. Funny Story comes out on the 23rd. Wild Love podcast is the 24th. So the following week, May 1st. Funny Story.
Mm-hmm.
So spilling the tea the 8th. And then we'll let you guys... There's 5 weeks in May. So who knows what... Maybe we'll get crazy.
Maybe we'll get crazy.
Oh, we also do...
Well, I was going to say, we have the one surprise episode that we will be talking about.
Yeah, so we have an interview coming down the pipeline. Any hockey romance fans will be excited for.
Yes.
That's all we'll say for now.
Tis all we shall see.
And on that note, we will see you guys next week. Wild Love, Ford and Rosie, Elsie Silver, What's Not to Love? But we do have some conflicting opinions, and I know how we love those kinds of episodes.
Honestly, yeah, because I feel like there's more to discuss sometimes.
Yeah.
But on that note.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.